Well, we will be in Proverbs today. Proverbs chapter 8 is where we will be. Brother Charles is taking a much-needed day off, and so when he asked me to preach on this Sunday several weeks ago, I began to pray about what will I say? What will the message be? And I customarily read through the Proverbs every month, one a day. And it must have been on December the 8th that I happened to be in Proverbs 8. And God seemed to say, what better subject to present as people look forward to a new year is gaining wisdom, God's wisdom. And that's what our message is on this morning, is seeking wisdom. Now, we will be go through the entire chapter, so I will not be reading it as I usually do. And so we will just take verses here and there throughout the chapter as we go through it. So let us just begin with a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on this time. Heavenly Father, God, I just come, Father, and Lord, just lift up this message to you, and Father, that it just be received with open ears, open hearts, and Father, that we would indeed seek to live by your wisdom daily. Father, that we may be confident and insured, Lord, in our decisions that we make throughout 2020, that they are the decisions that you have led us to make by walking in your wisdom. Anoint my message, Lord, this morning, Father, that it just bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Wisdom is a recurring theme in Proverbs, but not only in Proverbs, but much of the Bible. When we think of wisdom, we may associate it with intelligence or IQ. We may think only smart people are wise. We will often hear of some titan of business being described as wise because he has made lots of money. Some think wisdom has to do with having a great memory, by being able to quote dates and facts or recite many passages of scripture from memory. Many think wisdom is obtained from academic achievement with degrees in philosophy or psychology or religion. While there's nothing wrong with any of those things, having a great mind for business, a great memory to recite scripture, or pursuing higher education, none of those things are wisdom. Biblical wisdom is much deeper than all human pursuits and achievements. It's deeper than book knowledge. It's deeper than memorizing facts. It's deeper than intellect. Wisdom is available to anyone. That's the good news. It's available to anyone regardless of IQ, education, their memory capability, or their status in life. There are only two requirements that someone must have to have wisdom, and here they are. First, you must want wisdom. You must want it. And you must want it for the right reasons. When you realize you need wisdom, that indicates you're humble enough to ask for it and receive it. You know, the author of Proverbs was none other than King Solomon. And the Bible declares King Solomon was the wisest man to have ever lived besides the Lord himself. But he wasn't always wise. He became king at a very young age after his father David died. It was a troubling time to govern God's people. There was idolatry in the land. And even Solomon dabbled in idolatry. But he knew he didn't have what it took to lead the nation as his father did. Thankfully, Solomon did have the humility to realize he needed wisdom. So he asked God for it in 1 Kings chapter 3. And you don't have to turn there, but it says here, he says, "Now my Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child, and I do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked this not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you've asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never be anyone like you, nor there will ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Throughout these scriptures, God compels us to seek wisdom. To seek it, find it, treasure it, keep it, listen to it. It's this thing that God wants us to have, but we must take action to have it. Now, not all Christians have wisdom. You can be a believer and lack wisdom. You can be absolutely vacuous as a Christian. And that should be a scary thought to all of us. Wisdom should be the constant pursuit of a believer. So we have to admit we need wisdom, but why do we need it and how do we get it? All of those things are outlined here in chapter 8. And we're going to see five truths this morning from this proverb about wisdom, why you need it, how you get it. The first truth we see is that wisdom is available to everyone. We see in verse 3 that wisdom is pictured as a woman crying out at the city gates. She wants to be heard. She wants to be seen by all. And that's why she's at the gates of the city. The gates of any city at that time was the one place where you were guaranteed to see everyone who lived in that city as they came and went. In verse 2, we see her on the top of a high hill where the paths intersect. That says that wisdom is public and is available to everyone who will listen. In verse 4, we see again the call of wisdom is universal. "To you, O men, I call," and that word men is the generic word for everyone. "And her voice is to the sons of men." That means wisdom is for everyone. But it's for all the time. Wisdom is not just for Sundays or for going to church. Wisdom is not to be a temporary state of mind or a spiritual level that we feel like we have to jump to. Wisdom is for our daily lives, and it's available to us in all situations that we may face all the time. And wisdom is for all ages, the young and the old. That means His wisdom is available to me in every situation that I may face in my life, every aspect of my life. As a parent, I needed wisdom. If you're a parent, you know you need wisdom to raise your children. It's really a work to be a parent, especially today. And you need wisdom to do it. You need God's wisdom. It takes wisdom to know how far to let children go. When to say yes, when to say no. How to be balanced. You know, if you're too strict, you break a child's spirit, the Bible says. And you create a rebel. If you aren't strict enough, you spoil a child, and you have a monster on your hands. We need wisdom in parenting. If you're married, you know you need wisdom in your marriage. You know when you have wisdom. You know when you when there's a time to talk, when there's a time to be quiet. Men, there's a time when you keep your head down. But seriously, you need wisdom to know how to best minister to your spouse. You need wisdom in your occupation. I believe it's God's will that Christians are to be the best employees at their employer. We're to be the best. Not think we're the best, but we are to be the best employees a business could have. But you not only have a Christian work ethic, or to have a Christian work ethic, you need wisdom to do your job better. I read in Reader's Digest many years ago, a chemical engineer for a large company who happened to be a Christian also sang in his church choir. One little problem he continually had to deal with was accidentally losing his song page markers in his hymn book while singing and losing his place, because they had fallen out of the hymnal. From this, he eventually had the stroke of genius to use some experimental adhesive that had been developed accidentally by his employer that had not yet been put to practical use. The funny thing about this adhesive was that it would stick to paper, but the paper could be removed without ripping the paper. The story goes he applied the adhesive to scrap strips of paper that he found at work. He could then stick to pages in his hymnal to mark the pages without them falling out. That stroke of genius would go on to be known as Post-it notes. You never know how God's wisdom will affect your daily life, your everyday course of life, but his wisdom is for our benefit. It's for his glory. And I want you to understand that God's wisdom is available to every one of you today. You don't have to complete a test. You don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to complete a bunch of steps to gain it. You don't need someone else's approval to gain it. Doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are, how messed up life you think your life is, or how many mistakes you've made, God's wisdom is available to you today. The reason we need wisdom leads us to our second point, and that's that wisdom is the key to virtue. It's the key to virtue. Virtuous living. Wisdom is the key to living a life that's right and honors God. A virtuous life is a life that's lived according to the wisdom of God. And I want you to notice some of the words used in each of these individual verses. In verse 6 it says, "Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things." You know, the word right is the Hebrew word that means to live according to the law. That means my life will match God's word. I'm going to do what his word says, and I'm going to speak according to his word. And so if you think that you're wise, but your wisdom doesn't line up with what God's word says, you're not wise. You know, yesterday we had a funeral for one of the pillars of our church, Bob Henson, and you know, he hasn't been active in some time due to his declining health. But when I read this, I think of someone like him. I think of him. Now he would by no means say or think that he's a perfect man, and that's not what this is saying, but he was a virtuous man. And when you live according to God's wisdom, you will walk in virtue. You say, "I know what the Bible says, but I need to do it this way." because that's how everyone else I go to school with or I work with does it. That's not wisdom, because God never changes, nor does His Word. And we don't adjust our morality to what the world says is acceptable, because that is unwise. Not only is it right, we see it's true. Verse 7, my mouth will speak truth. Someone who is living according to the Bible's wisdom will represent reality accurately. And that word true is from the building trades, and it means perfection, accuracy, alignment. You know, for example, a brick mason, he will hang a plumb line, just a simple piece of string with a weight on the bottom of it, where he is going to build a brick wall. And he lays every brick so that it lines up with that string. He doesn't guess. He doesn't eyeball it. He builds that wall according to the plumb line, because his view will be distorted. No matter how straight he thinks that is, that wall will be distorted if he does not use the plumb line. And it's the same way of living our life. When we live it according to God's wisdom, that is the plumb line. His Word is the plumb line we live according to, not our own judgment. You know, wisdom will always value truth, and if you're operating outside of truth, you're not operating out of wisdom. And this is why we can't be walking in the wisdom of God and be a liar or be a thief or engaging in immorality. Anything outside of the truth is wickedness, and that's what it says in verse 7. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Not only is wisdom true, it's righteousness that we see in verse 8. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. A person operating out of God's wisdom will live righteously. And I'm not talking about self-righteousness that you put on, or that you have to, you feel like you have to engage in it. You're acting out to impress people. I'm talking about a righteousness that is produced from the inside, that takes no effort on my own. Because the wisdom of God gives us the ability to live right. When you're living rightly and you associate with people who live right, the perverse and crooked people are easy to spot. And that's what verse 9 is saying. They, the righteous, are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. When you live according to God's wisdom, you will be attracted to those who live right, and you'll avoid those who don't. That's why Psalms 1 reads, with this very precept, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the seat of the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. This is why we shouldn't be easily led astray by false prophets. You will know them by their fruit, Jesus said. And what he meant was, you will know their message is false when you hear it, because it will not line up with his word. You know, when someone tries to talk you into doing something that you're not comfortable doing, that is because it goes against what God has said. His Spirit is crying out to you, don't do it. Don't be gullible. You know, in our own life, if I see sin, that's not the wisdom of God. It shouldn't be debatable. It shouldn't be a hard decision. I'm to stop doing the things that are sinful and do the right things. You know, the righteousness that comes from wisdom of God is priceless. It should be treasured. We see in verse 10, he says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared to her. He is saying it is better to be wise than rich. All the money in the world can't buy you wisdom. And ultimately, the best thing you can have is the wisdom of God, because at the end of the day, it's not about how much money we have, but God's wisdom will protect the most valuable things that you do have: your soul, your integrity, and your reputation. Because if you can be marked by these virtues, the success and fruitfulness in life will flow from that. So we have to ask ourselves, do we desire God's wisdom more than riches? What holds the most value in my life? If we don't see these virtues in our life, that means wisdom is absent. God's word should be the most important thing in my life. It should get the best of my time. It should get the best of my attention. The word should be my first resort, not my last resort. It should be my foundation, not my fire extinguisher. It has to be the primary source that everything in my life is built on. And when it's not, folly follows. When we read God's word and identify where we're out of alignment, maybe it's something we've neglected to do that we knew we should have done, or maybe it's some sin, it's that wisdom that shouts to us to make those adjustments in our life so that we can be in right fellowship and walk in His wisdom. And so blessing will follow. So we see wisdom is available to everyone. It's the key to virtue. But in verse 12, we learn wisdom is indispensable. It is indispensable. The Bible says we can't live the Christian life without it. He says there are three things it is indispensable for, verses 12 through 14. You see that wisdom is absolutely necessary for sound judgment. It reads, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine, and I, sound wisdom, I'm understanding, I have strength. If you want sound wisdom, if you want sound judgment, you need wisdom. If you're going to make the right choice, you will make it according to God's word. Every issue we can face in life can be answered right here in God's word. There's nothing new under the sun, the Bible says. Nothing surprises God. Nothing shocks God. His word is eternal, and it's how we can navigate our lives successfully. Not just in the coming year, but for the rest of our life. Wisdom is indispensable for sound judgment, but we also see it's essential for effective leadership. If you want to be a good leader in your home, or your job, at school, or at church, look in verse 15, by me, wisdom, kings reign, rulers issue decrees that are just. By me, princes govern, and nobles, all who rule on earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. Wisdom loves those who love it. Those who seek it will find it. There's no mystery in discovering wisdom. God makes it available to everyone who wants it. Now, if you want to lead well, you must love the Lord and love His wisdom. A leader who leads well with wisdom has humbled himself and submitted to God's wisdom. When I think of a spiritual leader in any situation, I know that he's living under God's leadership. Any successful leader has to submit to God first. If they don't, you have a dictator on your hands. This is a principle of leadership regardless who you're leading. To lead well, you must be led well. We all must submit to God and be led of God. You must be led by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And when wisdom is leading you, you will lead well. It's just a byproduct. It's a chain reaction. that happens when it's in your home, your job, or your ministry. You will lead according to the righteousness of God. Well, it's not only indispensable for leadership, but wisdom's indispensable for success, we see in verse 18. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness along the paths of justice, bestowing a rich inheritance on those who love me and make their treasuries full. Now, before I sound like a TV evangelist that's promising you great wealth, if you get wisdom, it's not all about money. In verse 18, where it refers to enduring riches and righteousness, he's referring to eternal life. That's what he's referring to. That's the ultimate reward for wisdom from God, the salvation of your soul. And the blessing of a relationship with God as I live my life in the here and now. That's what's more valuable than rubies and silver and gold. You know, money, fame, status, and power. We worship celebrities today. We have entire TV shows dedicated to them. Just watching celebrities live. But that stuff does not bring contentment and satisfaction. You know, I think of, Kanye West, who's been in the news recently with his Christian albums. And, you know, he's had all the world can offer a celebrity. But he testified to his recent Christian conversion. He said this, "When I found out about you, I got closer to my children, I got closer to my family," talking about God, "because the devil had me chasing a gold statue, had me chasing cars, had me chasing numbers. The power of God cannot be calculated by a number, a first week sale, a bank account, by how many cars you drive, or how big your house is." I couldn't say it better. None of that brings true success, and that's the point of this verse. Those things can only be truly enjoyed when we have a right relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Only He can fill that longing in our soul that so many of us try to fill with fame, possessions, and fortune. You know, when a Christian is not walking according to God's wisdom, he's not walking with the Lord, he has a void. Is he saved? Yes. But when you can be saved and have that void in your life of purposelessness. But wisdom is available to everyone. It's the key to virtue. It's indispensable. What we learn in these next verses, true wisdom is divine. It's not of this world. You want a close encounter? Gain wisdom. It's alien. In verse 22, we read, "The Lord brought me," wisdom, "brought me forth as the first of His works. Before His deeds of old, I was formed long ages ago at the beginning when the world came to be. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth when there were no springs overflowing with water. Before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before He made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth, I was there when He set the heavens in place, when He marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when He established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when He gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep His command, and when He marked out the foundations of the earth." That's awe-inspiring. Wisdom has always been there. Wisdom is of God. It's from God. Biblical wisdom is alien. It's not of this world. It's before time and even assisted in creation. Look at verse 30. "I was beside Him," talking about God, "as a master craftsman, and I was His daily delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in His inhabited world. and my delight was in the sons of men. Do you realize that same wisdom that knit together the DNA of every living thing, and it was there when the universe and the planets and the galaxies and the supernovas were constructed, is available to you? That should blow you away. That same wisdom that was there when the world was created, when man was created, if that same wisdom that assisted in crafting the creation is available to us, don't you think that wisdom is sufficient to guide us in our daily life? Of course it is. Is that wisdom not sufficient helping you lead your family, raise your kids, do your job? You don't need anything else to guide you in your life. There's nothing better, there's nothing more reliable than God's wisdom. You might wonder how to know what wisdom is and how to get wisdom. Well, this passage on the origins of wisdom tells us exactly what it is and where we get it. Wisdom is God is revealed in Jesus Christ. It's available through Him. The only way you can partake of divine wisdom is to have Him give it to you. This is why we just can't go to a library or sit at the feet of some person we consider wise and learn wisdom. It has to be revealed to you supernaturally. This is why wisdom is not only divine, but wisdom can save. And that's our final truth this morning. Wisdom can save. And beginning in verse 32, "Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. But those who fail to find me harm themselves. All who hate me love death." If you receive wisdom, you receive life. There is no second stage or a second step or something else you have to do. If you reject wisdom, you welcome death. If you are lost and dead in your sins, your only wise choice today is to choose Jesus. Receive Jesus as your Savior, your substitute for your sin, that He died on that cross. His shed blood paid the price for your sins. We believe that. We accept that by faith. That's what it is to receive the Lord. Choose the Lord Jesus. Now, chapter 9, now don't get scared. I'm not going to start preaching on chapter 9. Chapter 9 of Proverbs is a follow-up to chapter 8. And you see two invitations in that chapter. An invitation to follow wisdom or folly. Now, folly is just an old word that means evil. So how do we know which way to go? How do we know we're not going down the way of folly in making a decision? The answer lies in verse 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." You see, wisdom is a who more than a what. Jesus is wisdom. He is the Proverbs wrapped in flesh. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made." Does that sound familiar? Wisdom was there at creation. Jesus was there at creation. So the only way to know wisdom is to know Him. The only way to know Him is to know His Word. We follow the Jesus of the Bible. There's a lot of Jesuses out there being preached, taught. But we receive salvation by believing on the Jesus as presented in the Holy Bible. First, it's going to be according to three things when you walk in wisdom. First, you must know the Lord. That's what it means to fear the Lord in that verse. You come to know Him, as I just described, in a personal invitation. Next, we obey the Spirit of the Lord. He gives every one of us His Spirit. When you come to know the Lord, you have His Holy Spirit in you. That's His presence within you. The Holy Spirit will prompt you and lead you in paths of righteousness. And finally, we follow the Word of the Lord, His wisdom. The Word of God is our owner's manual. Everything we need is right here. When to say yes, when to say no, where to go, what to say, what to do. It's all right in the Word of God. You want wisdom? Fear the Lord, submit to the Spirit, and live according to His Word. And you will live a life marked by virtues. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as 2020 approaches, Father, we don't know what lies ahead for each of us. But Father, in Your wisdom, Your foreknowledge, You do. And God, my prayer for everyone here today is, Lord, that we evaluate where we're at in walking in Your wisdom. That when we leave this place today, Father, that we are committed to doing that very thing. And God, I pray if there's anyone here this morning that does not know You, their first step will be that step of faith, to place their faith in You, their trust in You, of Your gospel. And Father, to receive Your gift of salvation so that they may begin to live a life in confidence and boldness in Your wisdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Stand with us now, and now's your time of invitation if you want to receive the Lord, or just come and pray, or you want to be baptized or join this church. Now's your time to come and make that decision public. Quick announcement, no other activities today, no worship this evening, nor will there be any activities Wednesday of New Year's Day. And so on behalf of Brother Charles, we wish all of you a happy, blessed New Year. All right, you're dismissed.